In a world where medical doctors cover up your symptoms with drugs, you need a better way. Look no further. You found it. The Freedom From Pharmacy Podcast.
The Freedom From Pharmacy Podcast is for information purposes only and should not be considered as medical advice. Always consult a physician when trying to get off a prescription medication.
Welcome to the Freedom From Pharmacy Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Showalter. I am certified in holistic nutrition. I am not a doctor, and these claims have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration to prevent, cure, or treat any disease. So today I'm going to talk about the good and the bad of using a microwave to cook food. So what I did was I went to PubMed and looked at a good number of published studies on the effects of microwaving food. What I found was that there's some good things about it and there's some bad things about it. But before I get to that, I thought I might interest you in telling you the story of how microwaves were discovered. And that takes us back to the 1950s. There was a guy named Percy Spencer, who was an electrical engineer who was working on radar devices used to detect airplanes. And he noticed that when he turned the magnetron on that the chocolate bar in his pocket melted. So that's kind of how he figured that these waves that the radar was putting out could be used to heat food. So he eventually came up with the microwave based on that principle. Now, this first study I'm going to talk about doesn't necessarily have to do with the food that you're microwaving, but what you're microwaving the food in, the container that it's in. And it's particularly bad when we're talking about if you're microwaving in plastics or, like, you know, TV dinners, the container that it comes in. This article was published in 1990, reported the leakage of many toxic chemicals from food packaging, including from pizza, chips, popcorn. Chemicals included polyethylene and well-known carcinogens like dioxin, benzene, toluene, and xylene. There's a study published in 2014 talking about the effects of microwave heating on the migration of substances from melamine, formaldehyde, and tableware. And what they found was food microwave heating affects the migration of melamine, formaldehyde in a significantly different manner as compared to conventional heating methods. Now we get into the good stuff. What does microwaving actually do to the food? This one study published in Bioelectric Magnetics in 2008, the study titled Non-Thermal Effects of Microwave-Induced Unfolding of Proteins Observed by Chaperone Binding. And basically what that means is the study showed that microwaves caused a significantly higher degree of unfolding of proteins versus conventional thermal stress. What they're saying is microwaves had a significantly higher degree of changing the shape of the proteins versus conventional heating. So when you change the shape of the protein cannot perform its function the same way in the body as a normal shaped protein. Similarly, we're talking about proteins. December 9, 1989, published in the journal Lancet, found that microwaving baby formula converted certain trans amino acids into their synthetic isomers, which turned out to be particularly L-proline, which was converted into its D-isomer, which is known to be neurotoxic, toxic to the nervous system and to the kidneys. So here's another example of it changing the protein shape, what it was heating. Which, by the way, if you do heat something hot enough, you're going to change there's a good chance you'll change the protein shape anyway, which is why always want to heat your food the lowest that you possibly can to achieve the objective, which is why one of the reasons why I always say no fried foods, because fried foods are heated much higher than you should be heating food. One study mentions the changes in texture of nutritional quality of green asparagus spears. And what this study found was green asparagus beers with similar high shear force values and lower vitamin C were obtained by microwave blanching versus steam and water. So what this study found was microwaving had less vitamin C in the asparagus versus steaming. Another study called the phenolic compound contents in edible parts of broccoli in different types of cooking. What they found was, it says, the results showed large differences among the four treatments in their influence on flavonoid derived from broccoli. It says when the broccoli was microwaved, they found high losses of flavonoids, up to 97% loss, versus conventional boiling, which had a 66% loss. And it goes on to say that steaming showed the least amount of loss of flavonoids. So flavonoids are, there's lots of different flavonoids. They're beneficial compounds found in plants that act as antioxidants. So this one study showed that you're losing a lot of your antioxidants in broccoli by microwaving it. Now, on the other hand, this other study titled Cooking Processes Increase Bioactive Compounds in Organic and Conventional Green Beans. And what this study found was that microwaving, there was an increase in antioxidant capacity over pressure cooking. So this study's kind of like saying the opposite of what the previous study found. So this study is saying there's more antioxidants. The previous study says there's less antioxidants. So this gets quite confusing. We are talking about a different plant here. This one was green beans. The previous one was broccoli. I don't know how much of that difference that makes. I'm just telling you what I found, that there's conflicting data on whether or not they increase or decrease antioxidant capacity. The next study I have listed here says the formation of plant sterile oxidation products in food during baking or cooking. And what they found was microwave food had the lowest plant sterile oxidative products in foods versus the other methods. So this study kind of confirms what the previous study found, that there's more oxidation in other types of cooking versus microwaves. So, I mean, like, these studies are kind of going back and forth. Another study here titled The Effects of Six Different Cooking Techniques in Nutritional Composition of Two Fish. Didn't find a whole lot of differences in this study. They did say that the phosphorus was decreased in the steam and microwave samples. Another study done on the oil content of fatty acid composition of eggs cooked in drying oven or microwaved pan. What this study found was the cooking in a microwave oven caused a decrease in oleic acid content by 46% and an increase of palmitic acid content by 26%. In addition, the maximum oleic acid, 65%, and minimum palmitic acid, 14%, were observed in egg oil cooked in a pan. So we got a difference of about 20% in oleic content and a difference of about 12% in palmitic acid content, and the difference between microwaving and pan cooking. So that's kind of what I got on the difference between microwaving and cooking. So there is some evidence that it decreases the number of nutrients in certain types of nutrients in microwaving versus other types of food, as well as increasing toxic compounds when you cook it. I do have this interesting article that was in Associated Press that tells a story of a woman who was given a blood transfusion and the blood was warmed up in the staff microwave next to the coffee machine instead of in the standard heating unit that they use to warm the blood up before they put it in your body. And what happened was this actually killed her. The autopsy said that she died from damaged red blood cells. So what this article shows is that microwaving damages red blood cells versus normal heating. So, I mean, you're not necessarily eating blood, but it does show you what microwaves can do to living cells. Which, by the way, your cell phones put out microwaves. I mean, it's in a lot smaller amount, but if you read the information that comes with your cell phone, it does say not to put the cell phone up to your ear. They say that you're supposed to keep the cell phone away like an inch or so away from your head because it's putting out these microwaves. And you can find pictures of thermal imaging that shows a heating of your head after 30 minutes of having your phone next to your head. And you can see like the different colors of where it was heating your head up. I believe it's like 2 degrees or something. It's not a lot, but I mean, your brain is right there. I mean, that can't be good. So I can't talk about microwaves without talking about exactly how microwaves actually work. And I should have started out with this, but a microwave works by putting out radio waves in a very short wavelength. So radio waves have a longer wavelength. Microwaves have a short wavelength, which carry a lot of energy. And what these microwaves do, they go into the food and start vibrating the water molecules in the food. And when you're vibrating molecules, they heat up. So that's how microwaves work. In your normal oven, you're heating by conduction, where heat is just transferring its energy into something cooler, which is your food. Convection ovens are faster than conduction ovens. Basically, convection oven is a normal oven with a fan in it, and the fan is moving the air around so that there's a faster heat exchange between what you're cooking and what the air temperatures. So you can cook up to 25% faster in a convection oven versus your standard oven. So by switching to a convection oven, you can speed up your cooking time a little bit. But for busy people who can't be cooking all of their meals in a stove, I'll tell you what I do. What I do is I take out from the refrigerator my next meal, one meal previous to the meal that I'm taking out. So at breakfast, I'll take my lunch out of the refrigerator and let it warm up to room temperature during the day. So when I come back for lunch, it's already warmed up to room temperature. And I'm fine with eating food at room temperature, but there is a way that you could warm your food up so that it's ready to go when you come back for your next meal. And you can do that with a crock pot or a slow cooker, depending on what you're cooking. You can set the settings so that it's ready to eat when you come home to it. But not every food you want to eat is going to be in like a stew or casserole type form that you would have in a crock pot. So I come up with this idea that might be useful to you, and it's pretty simple, and it involves a hot plate. You plug it into your outlet, and before you plug it into an outlet, you plug it into an outlet timer. These are very simple devices. You can set different programs, like 8 times to come on and off. You probably only just use this one time. You figure out what time you want your meal ready, and you set the timer maybe half an hour, an hour before you want it ready, so that like before you come home, timer turns on, starts heating up your food, and by the time you get home, it's already warm for you. Pretty simple. It might not work if you have pets. or kids, or if you have flies in your house or things like that, because your food will be sitting out open, exposed. But basically, it's doing what I'm doing, getting your food out one meal before you want it. You set it on this hot plate. Hot plate's not going to turn on until the time you have set turns it on. So it's pretty safe. These hot plates are meant to be set on your counter. And figuring out how much time you need that to be on to warm your food up is all based on what type of food you're trying to warm up and how much food there is. And I looked on eBay to see how much this would actually cost to do this. You can find a new hot plate for $22, and the outlet timers are like between $10 to $15. I like to get the outlet timers that have the plus and the minus buttons on them, because when you're setting your time, if you want to set your setting time to come on at like 4:20 and your previous time you set it was like 4:30, instead of going clear around, you know, like 31, 2, 3, 4, 5, up past 59 and then start over, you can just hit the minus button a couple times to get it where you want it. Those are the kind of timers that I like. But it's pretty simple. I mean, it's just an idea that you could think about. It's just one of the ways that I thought of that could be a way that you could avoid using the microwave, yet still have food already prepared and warmed up for when you get home. So this has been Brian Showalter signing out, and we'll see you next time.
To see the products mentioned in this show, head over to freedomfrompharmacy.com and look at this episode's show notes, and you can see all of the Youngevity products by clicking on the store tab.
The Freedom from Pharmacy podcast is owned by Easy Way LLC and is under Ohio Revised Code 4759.10i.